Hi, I'm Joyce Maynard, and this is Telling Your Story. Welcome back. When we left off, I was talking about the impulse that so many writers have when they're approaching memoir, and it's understandable to tell everything. It's been building up for a long time, many things have happened, and this is finally your chance to get it all out. I understand that, but I want to discourage you a little bit from feeling that you have to tell everything all at once. So we're going to talk about the short personal essay. Even if you eventually hope to write a memoir, I'd love to suggest, I'm going to suggest, that you begin with some short stories. But not random short stories. I want to let you know that there is a way in a very short space to tell a very big story. And I call this the container story. It's one of my favorite concepts as a writer. I've published many books and 3 memoirs, but actually one of my favorite forms still is the 1700 word, more or less, short personal essay. And very often, the same big themes that I've addressed in a whole book-length memoir are the ones that I explore in a short essay. So what do I mean by a container? Okay, you're sitting there at your desk, and you want to start writing. And if you've listened to the earlier episodes of this podcast, you know that first thing I recommend you to do is to figure out what it is that your story is about, what your big themes are, what your obsessions are. Something that many people actually don't do before they begin to write. But you've listened to our earlier episodes, so I know you have done that. Okay, you want to write about your years in Europe as an exchange student, the end of your marriage, or the beginning of your marriage, falling in love, being a parent, the death of your mother, a serious illness, your pet. Sometimes they're huge and often painful experiences, but not necessarily. You might have a love of travel and you want to write about travel. You might want to write about your experience being from another country and living in the United States. These are all totally legitimate and important subjects to explore in your writing. Every single thing that I've mentioned in that list is a big abstract topic. You know, I always apply a test to a piece of writing, and sometimes even to sentences. Can you draw a picture of this? Can you draw a picture of divorce? Can you draw the picture of the death of your mother? Can you draw the picture of my house burning down? Or in fact, I'll say my house. Probably not. A container story, by contrast, is a very concrete and specific story. It has characters, it has scenes, it has a place, and it probably takes place over a limited period of time or a limited piece of geography. Even if, for instance, a subject I mentioned a minute ago, one of my obsessions is travel. I've been to 48 countries on this planet. Can you write a book about going to 48 countries on this planet? I think not. The best way to convey your love of travel might very well be to tell about one particular country you went to, one particular day in that country that will illuminate your love of travel. It's the small container story that actually allows us to understand a big theme of your life. Okay. Let's look at what some containers could be. And I'll begin with some of my own writing because I've written hundreds, probably thousands of essays over my life as a writer. I for years had a syndicated newspaper column. I delivered 1,000 words every Monday morning. It was a really wonderful training ground, that domestic affairs column, for my own life as a writer of personal stories. One of the most popular ones that I ever published, and I got probably hundreds, maybe 1,000 letters on this one, was about a day when it was my daughter's probably 7th birthday, and she had really wanted a particular Barbie. And the particular thing she wanted about that Barbie, or that made her want that Barbie, was that the Barbie came with these clear plastic shoes that were probably about 1/2 inch big in size. And of course, there were lots of little girls at our house, maybe even a few little boys. And big mess and lots of wrapping paper and cake and children playing and games and presents. And I saw it when she opened that Barbie. She was really excited. And of course, she was most excited by the shoes. And I saw trouble ahead because one of the things that we do as parents, especially mothers do this, I think, but I don't want to characterize this as exclusively a female trait. Just happened to have been that in my case. We want to protect our children. So I saw that shoe and I could just imagine the shoe getting lost. And I think I said at the time, Audrey, let's put those shoes up on a shelf or somewhere. But she wanted to look at the shoes, study the shoes, show the shoes to everybody, try the shoes on Barbie, off Barbie, on Barbie, off Barbie. And somewhere along the line, after all the guests went home, I looked at my daughter's face and I knew exactly what had happened. The shoe was lost. So this is not actually a story about seven-year-old girls not knowing how to take care of their Barbie shoes or their possessions in general, because I'm writing my story. It's a story that I own. And my story was what happened after, which was that I tore our house apart. I became a crazy woman. I tore our house apart trying to find that Barbie shoe. And although my daughter was sad to have lost the Barbie shoe, at some point, what was worse for her than losing the Barbie shoe was seeing her mother kind of losing her mind in a way that lots of us have done at one point or another in our lives. Is that a story about Barbies, Barbie shoes, birthday parties? No. It is a story about a big concept, which is the almost universal impulse and maybe obsession of parents to spare their children pain and the impossibility of doing so. But if I sat down at my desk and said, I want to write an essay about trying to save my children pain over the years, the 10,000 times, 10 million probably, that some aspect or another of this came up, that is probably not an essay that would hold your attention. It would be so vast, so general, and so without concrete, grounding story, which is what keeps us reading. I firmly believe that the best writing is always concrete, specific, visual. Another little test that I suggest to the writers I work with is to ask yourself, could you film a movie of this page, this sentence or this paragraph or this essay? And you could not film a movie about mothers being obsessed with sparing their children pain. Could you film a movie of a 35-year-old woman tearing her house apart while her 7-year-old daughter stands by and says, Mom, it's okay, really, it's okay, it's okay. I don't mind, I like a barefoot Barbie. Yes, you could film that movie scene. And that's a container. That's a big idea brought to the small scale. Over the years, I've again and again gone to the container essay as a way of exploring the big issues and themes and experiences of my life. I lived through a very painful divorce. I have never written an essay whose subject was divorce, or the aftermath of divorce, or the pain of divorce. None of those are subjects that you could draw or film a movie of. But one of the essays of mine that probably, again, got the biggest response of any that I'd written on exploring that set of experiences was one, I think I call it Letting It Fly, published years ago in the New York Times. And the essay was about a single night when I picked up my children at the home of their father after they were having a weekend with their father at the house where I used to live. And I did something that I was very much ashamed of. And incidentally, this is probably a topic for another day, but one of the things we must be vigilant about is not sparing ourselves the exposure of our less heroic side. It was a rare night when my children's father wasn't home when I picked up the one of them that was at the house that day. So I walked into the house for the first time in a few years. I saw a tool that was very important for their father, no doubt, my former husband, a screw gun that he used in his profession. While my younger son was off in another room, I picked up that screw gun and took it outside and flung it into the snow. That is a very small story. Could you film a movie of it? Yeah, you sure could. We then drove away back to our house. I probably don't need to tell the reader how I felt. You can probably imagine how I felt, and I'm a big believer in not telling the reader everything. and respecting the intelligence of the reader. And eventually, the next day, I drove back to the house and retrieved the screw gun and left it on the doorstep. Okay, small story. All takes place over less than 24 hours. It is not about a screw gun. It is not about children and visitation. It is about the aftermath of the end of a marriage. It's about the death of a marriage, but it's a container story. My mother died right around the same period, actually, that my marriage ended. I've probably written 30 different essays about the death of my mother that all explored in different aspects of this very large experience that continues to be a presence, a daily presence in my life 30 years after her death. And sometimes it'll be a story about, reaching the one that I actually am at right now, reaching the age that my mother was when she died, a piece of my mother's clothing, baking pie, something that she was very good at. These are all container stories that get at the big themes having to do with my mother. But one of them that I wrote about seems to be an almost comically small story. I call it My Mother's Chutney. After my mother died, I cleared out her house with my sister, and what I brought home from her house, she lived in Canada, I couldn't bring very much all the way home. What I brought home were 30 jars of a particular peach chutney that she had canned not long before she was diagnosed with cancer. And the story actually follows the role that that chutney played in my life over the course of probably the next 3 years, as very gradually the number of jars sitting on my shelf got down to the single digits and finally down to one. I was not really writing about chutney. I was writing about feeling my mother gradually slip away. It doesn't happen all at once. That was part of what I was exploring. I don't want to just talk about sad stories, but I'll add here that my second husband died 4 years ago. We had a very good short marriage. And early on in our marriage, we were not young. I was 59 when we were married. He was 61. He got his motorcycle license. And he bought a really wonderful Triumph motorcycle. And we had a few great years of riding on that motorcycle, me on the back of that motorcycle. Well, after Jim's death, the grief of the loss of him was too big. There was no way I could get my brain around everything that was lost. But what I could do, and what I did do, was tell the story of our time with the motorcycle. And it began with Jim getting the motorcycle and getting on the back of that bike with him for the first time, which also happened to be just about the first time I'd ever ridden on the back of a motorcycle. And it ends with my selling the motorcycle. And in the course of that small story, I discovered large truths. What you lose and what you hold on to. What is gone and what remains. I don't just want to talk about my own writing, though it's the writing that I'm most intimately acquainted with, which is why I often use it as my frame of reference. There's a wonderful essay by a writer I admire enormously, Roger Rosenblatt, called Making Toast, and it is about exactly what you'd think, making toast for his granddaughter. It's also about the death of his granddaughter's mother, his daughter. An essay that I regard as the quintessential container essay, and you can find it online. You can Google this writer's name and look up this essay, and I encourage you to do so, is an essay called The Halloween of My Dreams by a writer not hugely well known, I'm sorry to say, Marjorie Williams. Marjorie Williams, while still young, in her 40s, mother of two young children, was diagnosed with cancer, fought cancer very hard, and she did not ever, to my knowledge, write an essay about contemplating her death or fighting cancer. She wrote a brilliant 870-word essay about a year when her daughter was 12 or 13, when she helped her dress up for Halloween, and her daughter chose to dress up in an extremely glamorous, glitzy, and possibly inappropriate manner for a 12-year-old. She let her daughter wear high-heel shoes and tons of makeup and a ridiculously short skirt. And she had already acknowledged in this essay that she wasn't that type of mother who believed in glitter and didn't even particularly like Halloween. And we follow her through, this container is so small, it's about 15 minutes, helping her daughter dress up. And at the very end of the essay, as her daughter is clattering down the stairs, going off to join her friends in her too grown-up outfit, Marjorie Williams allows herself the big concept, to explore the big concept. Why did she do this? Because it gave her a glimpse into the future. It allowed her to see the teenage girl that her daughter would one day be when she was probably no longer going to be alive. And in fact, she died 3 weeks after the publication of that essay in the Washington Post. But in 870 words, she explored an experience that anybody who is facing a life-threatening illness, who has children, recognizes very well, or even you can substitute, has children, has a spouse, has parents, has friends, has siblings, the anticipation of not just of what you will lose, but of what they will lose not having you. That's a great container. So, how do you write your own container essay? You go back to that list of your obsessions. You go back to the big themes, the big experiences in your life that haunt you. And then you find the small scene that allows you to explore it. And when we come back for our next episode, I'm going to be inviting a guest to join us, a writing student of mine who came to a workshop not so long ago with a story about a very big experience in her life. My student, Betsy, wanted to write about being the mother of a son with mental health issues. You cannot draw a picture of that one. She told about 30 years of experience with herself and her son. And out of that 30 years, we located one small story that told the story so well that we didn't need all the other events of Betsy's life with her son, Matt. So when we come back next time, we're going to look at the making of a container story.
Joyce Maynard's podcast, Telling Your Story, can be found at joycemaynard.com. You'll find a new episode exploring different aspects of the art and craft of writing memoir every week. For more in-depth discussion of the writing process, check out Joyce Maynard's classes at creativelive.com. Or better yet, join her at one of her in-person workshops. Details on this and much more at joycemaynard.com.